to use it, how to run jobs there, and some of the software that is available there. So let's get started with logging in. Are you all familiar with SSH? Have you used the terminal or something like that before? That would be the way that experts would like to use the system. So let's just get it out of the way. You open a terminal. Can you see the window? Is it too small, too large? It's always too small, right? Let's make it larger. And then you type in SSH, and then my username is eschnetter at symmetry. And if you're here connected to the PI residence network, it should just work. If you want to do that from home, you need to be connected to VPN. If you don't have VPN installed on the laptop, you can contact the help desk, and it only works when you're at a coffee shop or at home anyway, so you don't need that today. And then if you SSH, then the first time you log in, you might see warnings about missing keys, etc. And there are various more comfortable ways for using SSH, where the password is remembered after you type in for the first time, etc. I don't want to discuss that today. And then you log in on Symmetry, and then you can run commands there, for example, ls. And, well, that would be my home directory there. So this is going to be a rather interactive tutorial. I expect you to follow on with what I type, or just listen to what I type. And if you have a question or a problem or get stuck, you can just speak up and I can come to your desk and try to figure out what is going on there. So this SSH access is one way of accessing it. There's a slightly more comfortable way that is web-based. I will also want to show that to you. So I need to open a web browser here. And then in the, I can't make the title bar larger, sorry. In the address bar, you type https://, and then symmetry. And then you should see a login prompt like this. And then you type in your PI username and password there. Remembers my password, I don't have to type it. And that lets you in to a system called JupyterHub, and it's just a nice graphical front end where it shows your web page with, again, my home directory and the files there, and you can do the usual operations. You can copy files or name files, upload and download files, and you can also this is the upload button here. You can see the mouse, right? You can start certain jobs here. And interesting for me is, for example, Julia, starting a Julia job here. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. You can do something with Python, Python 3.7. And you can also start Bash command line shell. I'm going to use that here. And then the hope is that it works a few seconds later. Very good. You have a command line interface, and if you type ls, hey, sorry.
Sorry, Eric, I don't have all the file stuff, nor can I, like...
Do you see this, something like that?
I don't see that.
Maybe you don't see any files, but you still see the...
Head node and then spawn, that's what I did, it's sort of...
Ah, very good, yes, it remembered where I was. Yes, spawn on the head node. I forgot that step because I'm apparently logged in. Let me just log out, sorry. Stop my server, and then I go through the same process that you'll go. Wait, what... Stop my server. Log out. And let me log in again. And let me hope that this now shows what you actually see. Right. Select the job profile. And head node is a good profile. That means you want on the head node. The head node has 40 cores. So if 20 people use it at the same time, that's just fine. If you want to run a heavy computation there, please don't do that. You need to use a compute node. That is what I'm going to show you in the second half. And then spawn. And a few seconds later, you should be back to the window. Does it work for all of you? Very good. Now I'm going to go a new bash. Bash is just a shell. And then if you type ls, again, ls, and shift return as usual, you see the same as I saw before. And you can use it like a normal command line shell. Maybe it's easier to go up and down and redo commands. So I'm going to use that instead of the terminal. So this is a convenient way of getting logged in and running shell commands there. This is basically an Ubuntu system there with a lot of packages installed. If you want another package, we can install it. We also have extra software installed. And for that, we use modules. And with modules, you can activate and deactivate various versions of software. There are probably two or three versions of Mathematica and so on installed. So the module, can you see the bottom here? Yeah, it's always too small. Make it larger. The module list that shows the module that modules I've currently loaded. Oh no! Okay, yeah, let's forget that then. Let me go to the shell back here. We close the window. Yeah, I do it interactively because that means I encounter problems, but you encounter problems as well, so in the end, evens out. Very good. So, module list. We should fix that. That was not working 2 weeks ago. No module files currently loaded. And then module avail shows all available modules that we have. There are a few hiding up here. Null, interesting, that shouldn't be there.
Command not found, I'm gonna type in module.
You have to type something after it, module.
I did module list.
Okay, are you using the web interface or the shell? So in the web interface, it doesn't work for some reason. The problem is that the modules command needs to be initialized. There's some shell command that isn't running properly. You're in the terminal? Okay, which shell are you using? Bash or C shell or?
I'm just using, there is like an SSH client in Windows 10 now.
Okay.
It's not good enough.
Did you log into Symmetry?
Yeah.
Okay, if you type hostname, does that work? Hostname should output MN001.
Get mars.pi.local.
Mars, okay. Yeah, if you're at Mars, then you're not yet on Symmetry. You have to type SSH space Symmetry and then you're there.
Harry?
Yeah.
Is a way of setting up your login in such a way that it loads always the same modules? Because it's like if I want to load like five of them or something.
Yes, yeah, there's a way. I mean, you can probably do it with Bash, but there should also be something to do with modules itself. I don't recall how to do that.
Okay.
I always switch between modules, so I don't want a setup like that.
Okay.
Which is why I don't recall how to do that, but there is a way. Okay. If you type hostname, does it now say MN001?
It does, yeah.
Okay. Module avail, should use these. And then let's do module load slurm. That's an important command. And slurm is the job manager on Symmetry that enables the command that allow you to talk to the compute nodes. And then if you type SQ, for example, SQUEUE, you see all the jobs that are currently running. Man, the system is empty. It's half unused. Okay, that's not good advertisement. Okay, so there are currently about 7 or 8 jobs available. They're all running on the default partition. You can give a name to jobs and various users are running something there. And some of them have been running for about half a day. And most of the jobs running on more than one compute node here. And you can also type sinfo that gives you kind of an overview of the whole system. There are several partitions. There's a debug partition, debug queue, where your jobs start faster, but you can't run as long. And the default queue is for the default jobs. And yeah, you can also type, for example, module load Mathematica. And then there's a math command that starts the command line interface of Mathematica. And then, of course, I want the 2+3 is that. It's not the comfortable graphical user interface. I'm going to show that later. And with control D, D as in delta, we get out of this one.
Sorry, control?
D as in delta. Okay. This is how to log in via terminal. And I also want to show you the documentation for Symmetry that explains all these in a bit more detail. Sorry, now I need to peek because I forgot where the documentation is. Let's open this and another page. So the documentation for Symmetry is currently hosted on GitHub. the portlet perimeter is going to be revamped and it's going to merge with the official documentation. And you might not be able to read the title bar, but it's perimeterinstitute.github.io/symmetrydocs. And this has all the documentation. And you all should have been pointed to the documentation when you signed up to the job. And if most of you don't recall it, then I'm going to send out an email to all of Perimeter. We are going to reintroduce these basic documentation here again. In addition to the documentation, I don't want to go through it in detail. There is a usage statistics, and that is the web page is, oh, you remember when you typed https://symmetry/login/stats at the end, then you get the statistics. And then you see that which nodes are currently used by who. Half of the jobs are idle, that's the purple one, and other people are using parts of the system. And down there, it's actually quite convenient, is a breakdown by users, by jobs, by nodes, which of these nodes are busy. So if you're running a job and you're wondering how efficient the job is running, you can look at this one. And if it's in orange or yellow, then the nodes are underused. For example, there are jobs running here, but the CPU load is zero. So someone is probably running a job, but not currently using all the cores. And if it's in red, the corresponding nodes are overused. If you're running too many cores, or if you're using too much memory there. And that gives you a bit of an immediate overview of what is going wrong with your job. And here's some statistics about the wait time during the last week. There was basically no wait time. And if you go to /stats.
You use more than 100% CPU load. There are more than 100, there's 101.
Yes, so it counts the number of jobs that are running, kind of averaged over the past 5 minutes or something. And it also counts the jobs that are ready to run, that won't run, but can't currently run. Each node has 40 cores. So if there are on average 41 jobs ready to run, but only 40 can run, then that gives you, I don't know, 105% or something, 102%. And I don't know, 100, 110, 120 is fine, but sometimes you see numbers like 1600 there when someone has a miscalculation and instead of 40 jobs, they accidentally 500 jobs ready to run. And that's actually quite inefficient. And this is why then the things turn red. There's a bit of health information. There's currently one node that has problems with the GPBS file system, so that node is not available for jobs. Okay. I showed you two ways of logging in, first with the terminal, and the second one, the convenient one for using Julia and Python. I want to show you the third way as well. This allows you a graphical access to, you know, remote desktop on Windows, for example, or you're familiar with VNC under Linux. That is the way we're using. So if you want to run a program that has its own graphical user interface, for example, Mathematica or Maple, then this is possible that way. What you would do is you create essentially a virtual desktop on Symmetry, and Mathematica displays it there, and then you can connect to Symmetry, and the pixels are then displayed on your screen. I want to spend 5 or 10 minutes showing you how to set that up. It's a bit low level, and it's described in the documentation here. If we scroll down here, using Symmetry Access Remote Desktop Mathematica MATLAB, I'm going to open this one here and follow these instructions here. I hope the instructions are correct.
What's the URL for the documentation again?
Okay, yeah, sorry that I can't make it larger. Actually, I can make it larger. I'm just going to copy it and echo it here on the screen. Can you see that? And the /VNC is just for what I want to show you now. Without the /VNC, is the general documentation for Symmetry. And the basic idea is that you create this virtual desktop on Symmetry, and then you can connect from your laptop to the virtual desktop. And if you lose the network connection, the virtual desktop continues running. That's the important part, that Mathematica won't quit. And then later on, you can reconnect to your virtual desktop. So to start it up, We are just going to follow the documentation. And if you later have trouble with that, you can stop by my office. I can show it to you. And then there's a command called VNC server that you run. So I'm just peeking at the documentation. I'm totally cheating here. And this creates a new desktop for me. The desktop is called MN001:7. That is mine. Please don't use it. You have to use your own desktop. And if you run this command, it should ask you for a password. Please don't use your parameter password. This password is less secure. You should make up your own password. To connect, there's a software called VNC that you need to install on your laptop. I'm not going to wait until you install it. There are several options. They are described on the web page. For me, I'm using Tiger VNC. I'm going to start this one. And it opens a window that might be difficult to see, but what I type in there is symmetry.pi.local:7. The 7 is the same 7 that you see here. And then I click connect. It should ask for my password, or maybe it remembers the password from last time, because I used it before. Now it's supposed to start the virtual desktop and connect and so on. I hope it's actually working. Password, okay. And this is the virtual desktop. It's a kind of garish desktop background by default. I don't know. I think this is the KDE desktop that you get by default. And then you can do various things here. And this is now like a Linux desktop running in a window here on Mac OS. Let's see whether something works here. I'm not too familiar with a Linux desktop. Maybe I need to wait a bit. I just go to open a terminal and run Mathematica here and see how that works. Okay. Well, I'm going to leave the system alone for 5 minutes and maybe I'll walk you through the documentation. Maybe the system fixes itself. I hope it does. Of course, you never know. So I'm going back to the documentation and I want to show you and tell you how to start jobs on Symmetry. Now, what I showed you so far is how to log into the front end. And if you just need to do a quick calculation that takes a few minutes and want to run Mathematica there, that's a good way of using Symmetry. It's just like a large workstation, larger than your laptop. So Symmetry has 40 cores, I mentioned that. It also has about 200 gigabytes of memory, so you can run something large there. But of course, if 20 people use the head node at the same time, it gets bogged down, which is why we have the compute nodes. There are 76 of these, and we are planning an extension that should be installed soon. And if you type sinfo as before, it shows you all these compute nodes, how many are available and how many are idle. In the default queue, for example, one of them is currently offline. I can't point there. 36 are currently in use and 31 are currently idle. And you can request a compute node to do a calculation there. If you are an expert user on Symmetry, then you can use the slurm commands that I'm about to show you to use the system. And if you're just a casual user, then you can also ask me and I can just reserve a compute node for you for a week and you can use that exclusively and run a calculation there. Then you don't have to deal with slurm by yourself. But since you're here in the tutorial, I assume you want to learn how to do that. So the way to use Symmetry is to run a batch job. And a batch job is a shell script. In the shell script, you define at the top how many compute nodes you want, for how long you want them, and then it's an actual script that runs. And the inconvenient thing is that the script runs completely unattended, and if the system is full, of course, you might have to wait a few hours, or maybe even a few days before the job runs. So whatever you want to calculate needs to be completely scripted and needs to run in the background. Hence the convenient measure of reserving a compute node, because then you can just log in there and do the calculation right away. So let's write a sample job script where we calculate something. Actually, let's not do that. Let's look at the documentation because there are some examples here. There are several examples, and one of the examples runs Mathematica on one node. And performs a calculation there. me just click on that and show you the Slurm script. Allow downloads. Oh, it downloads it. This is how a batch script would look like, and it's a bit technical. There's, of course, documentation available. In the top, the lines that start with hash sbatch, these are the commands that you pass on to the queuing system that describe the job. So the queuing system knows how many nodes you want, what kind of nodes, and for how long your job runs. The job name is just for you. It defines a job name. Dash dash nodes equals one says that you want to run on one compute node. You can run on 10, 20, 50 at the same time. And output describes where the output of the script goes. Because it runs unattended, it can't go to the screen because it will run unattended maybe a few days from now. So you couldn't see that. And time is that I request 10 minutes. You can request for up to 1 day of computing time. If you need more time, we need to give you special permission. And asking for a small amount of time may mean that the job runs further if there's a small amount of time available before a big job. And the next commands are just the regular shell scripts to run a particular command. And if you're not familiar with Bash, then the most important command are the module load Mathematica. It makes Mathematica available. And then we run math and run that script that is a different script that needs to be in the same directory that performs a particular calculation. So let me download the mother. Yes?
You have to load all the modules when you submit the job.
Yes, yes, you do.
The OpenMDI.
Yes. So what happens is that this batch, the Slurm queuing system will log you in to a compute node as if you logged in afresh, and then it will run the script there. So any commands that you have to type in the beginning before you can run something, you have to add to the job script. You might have to cd to a special directory, then you have to load jobs, load modules, and so on and so forth.
What if I put the modules already loaded in my bash?
If you load it in your bash RC, so that they're loaded automatically when you log in, then you should be fine. Because the script will, it will give you a new login, and then it will run the script there. That's the mental model to have. Okay, I'm going to copy the two scripts I just downloaded to Symmetry, and then these are the two scripts. Let's look at the sbatch script, that is the one we just looked at, and there's the Mathematica script again. Okay, that is of course highly inconvenient that this happened just now during the tutorial. Okay, I'm afraid I can't show you anything. What I wanted to you to show you is how I submit the job. The corresponding command is sbatch, and then the script, which I gave an sbatch suffix, and this will then submit the job to the queue. Let's just try it. Yeah, and then if you type sq, which I can't show you, then you would see this additional job in the queue there. In the beginning, it would be pending because it's ready to run, and then it's running, and then it vanishes from the job queue as it's finished. And then the output file that you created, that would be in your directory. Okay, well, there's not much else I can show you if the system isn't working. If you write a job script yourself, there are a few things you need to consider because the system is highly parallel. And you might, if you want to run something on Symmetry, you might want to run multiple jobs at once, not just a single job. You might have a bunch of calculations that you want to do at the same time. And if you want to determine for how many nodes you should ask, you need to understand how parallel the job is that you're running. And that is something that is usually hidden from you. If you just run something on a laptop, you don't know whether the job would run on a single core or would try to grab all the cores that are available. For example, if you're using Mathematica and do a calculation that does the symbolic manipulations, that runs by default only on the single core. So if you run such a job on symmetry, you could run 40 jobs at the same time on a single node because there are 40 cores. On the other hand, if you're using linear algebra in Mathematica, where you're having large matrices and you're looking for eigenvalues or solve a linear system, that can use all the cores on the system. So if you do this, then you should be running only a single job per node. If you run 40 jobs per node, each of them would try to use all the cores. They don't talk to each other. And then you would be using 1600 cores. And I don't know, that would be a load of 16,000. I don't know. This is how these problems appear if you're unaware of what the system actually does behind your back. And hence the page that I showed earlier, the symmetry stats that shows you here what percentage of the cores are actually used. So if you're running something and it takes longer than expected, or you just want to peek, you can go to this page and maybe refresh it. Service unavailable. Of course the service is unavailable. Yeah. And you would then see something in red. You can look for your username there and for the job number that you get. Oh yeah, when you submit a job, you get a job number, I don't know, 10,000 or 100,000 or something. And this helps you look the job, look for the job that is actually running and then see whether it's finished. And if you're having more than one job in the queue waiting at the same time, it's very easy to get confused which job is doing what. So one simple trick is that each time you submit a new job, you create a new directory, and all the output, all the inputs are in that directory. And then you don't get confused with several jobs running in the same directory and maybe accidentally overwriting things from each other. Okay. Since symmetry isn't working, I don't want to keep you much longer. We can schedule another tutorial later this year where once we fix that. But I'd be happy to answer questions and maybe do a one-on-one session. But apart from that, it doesn't seem to make much sense for me to continue. Sorry. Yes?
You mentioned something about running one job on multiple cores within just like multiple jobs just get automatically distributed. Can you run a job on just one core, not one node?
We don't allow different people to use the same node at the same time, because there's always a small chance, a few percent, that someone accidentally makes a mistake, and that's then very annoying for the other person. But you can do that, and the way to do that would be yourself, that in the job script, the one I showed you, you would define, let me just show that again. Just a second, I just want to show the job script again. Here you run math only once, and what you would do is you would have, say, a for loop from 1 to 40, and you submit four jobs that then run at the same time. And there's an example here on the webpage, on the documentation. Let me download this one here. This is a single-threaded code running several independent scripts simultaneously. Here I show it for Mathematica. You can, of course, do the same for Julia and Python or a C code that you have running. And let's see whether it was downloaded. Downloads Mathematica. No, didn't download it. Just a second. Yes, here. Mathematica. Many tasks. Oh yeah, right. I was very clever. Many tasks, many threads. The naming session here. So here, I'm running a Mathematica script. It's the same script, but I'm running it with different arguments every time. And I assume that there are 200 tasks to be done. This is the sequence 200. Sequence is a command that just counts from 1 to 200 and outputs it to the command line. And then this command xargs minus p that runs multiple commands at the same time up to minus p at the same time. So CPU's on node is set by the system. That would be 40. So it runs the 200 up to 40 at the same time. So as soon as one of them finishes, it starts the next. They can overlap. And this is the magic Mathematica command where, oh, I don't know, there's curly braces and so on. I think in the Mathematica script, it looks a particular environment variable to figure out what part of the job to do. And I'd be happy to explain the details if you want to do such a thing. And of course, another thing is that you can have a job and you want to run on one node per job, but you still want to do 200 things, and you don't want to type sbatch 200 times. And there's a thing, Slurm provides a job arrays, where essentially on the sbatch command line, you say you want to submit 200 jobs, and then it actually submits 200 jobs in the queue. It looks quite large in the queue, and people complain, but the others complain because you're running 200, but they shouldn't, because the system keeps track of who is using how many compute nodes for how long. And if you're using them, then you have a lower priority. So if you're running 10 jobs and then someone else come along, they will just jump ahead in the queue and not be behind the 200 that you submitted. So don't worry, it's just fine to submit 200. I mean, don't submit 100,000. That would not be. Okay. Do you have other questions? Yes?
So two questions. One is, what's the storage size that we have in our directory?
Okay. Do you have two directories? One is your home directory that is backed up. It's the regular home directory. I believe it's something like 50 gigabytes. And I would use your home directory for the job scripts and for the source code and everything that needs to be backed up, but you need to be safe. And then we have a high performance file system called the GPFS. And there we have 100 something or maybe 200 terabytes available overall. And the default quota is 1 terabyte. And if you need more, you can have more. But obviously, since there's a limit, you can't have arbitrary amount of time. And the quota is mostly there, again, to avoid errors. There's a particular MATLAB bug where it outputs an error message, and just continuously outputs the error message, and people have filled up the storage. It's very easy to output terabytes of just error messages. And then we have a quota there, and then this one person can't write. I mean, this one person's jobs stop because they can't write to the disk, but everybody else can continue.
Okay.
So it's about 1 terabyte, which I hope is enough. And you could easily have 5 or 10 if necessary.
Okay. And the second question is, so let's say that I want to like download some of that data that I have in my home directory, want to upload some of it to my local computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you can do that with SPC.
SCP?
SCP. Yes. But do you know if there's any other sort of like software that easily, you know, connects both your local computer files to the server files? Because I've been trying to use one, but the server keeps disconnecting it after 30 seconds or 1 minute.
Okay. So if you want to, so first the thing is, if you have a terabyte of data on Symmetry, it's really difficult to get it off because it's just slow to move the data. So if you want to copy it to your laptop, I use rsync. rsync is like SCP, but the advantage is it checks what is already there and only copies what is missing. So if it disconnects after 2 hours or get home, come back the next day, I just run rsync again and it syncs to make it there. And it looks very similar to SCP. So this is the command rsync. I just type it here. Yeah, it outputs oof. Yeah, it's a very powerful command. Lots of options that you can do. Let's just copy something to Zoom. No, let's not copy something. It probably won't work because it tries to log in via SSH and who knows that it's broken. And the other thing is you can mount Symmetry like a file system. And this is called SSHFS. You need to install it locally on your laptop. And then it just uses SSH to log in. And then you can access files there. It's very convenient, but it's rather slow. Because every time you need to access a file, it needs to forward it and so on. So I don't recommend it for large data sets. And finally, some programs have their own file transfer protocol built in. For example, there's a visualization tool called Visit. And of course, if you have a visualization tool, you might have hundreds of gigabytes there and you want to visualize it. But each time you visualize only a small fraction, right? A slice or some kind of a projection or something. So Visit actually runs in two parts. There's the viewer that runs locally and there's the engine that runs remotely and they use their own protocol to communicate. And there will be a Visit tutorial later this year. And then that, yeah. But of course, this is all handled within Visit, so you don't need to bother about that. Yes?
How would I SCP or rsync when I'm accessing it from a terminal that's not on Symmetry? Do I have to go through Mars?
If you're on PI residence, you can go directly. And if you're at home and on VPN, you can also do it directly. But if you're using a computer outside perimeter, then you have to go through us.
Yes.
What I mean is like, what's the address that I send the SCP to?
You would send it to Mars. And, oh, okay. So when you use rsync internally, it also uses SSH. So they are the University of Waterloo, and you have a server there, and you want to connect to Symmetry. So you would then use an rsync command that is a bit advanced, where you tell rsync to connect to Mars, but you use an SSH command that on Mars would automatically continue to connect to Symmetry. So the SSH connection goes from your computer to Mars and from Mars to Symmetry, but you don't need to copy the file here and there. You don't need a terabyte of storage on Mars, which you don't have available. And yeah, it looks a bit like that. Rsync, say from my laptop, I have a file here, some file.hfave, and then it goes to Mars, parameter institute. And then there's an option minus E. And sorry, no, I don't recall. I could probably figure it out if you stop by my office. I've done that before. Sorry, that was an advanced question. Do you have other questions? Yes.
How do we check the size that we currently have?
You mean the amount of disk space that you have available? Okay. There's a command called quota. Doesn't output anything, which should work for the home directory.
Yeah,
and there's another command, mmls quota, which is, okay, now it doesn't work anything. So this GPFS file system uses commands that start with mm for I don't know whatever reason. And this command mm and then ls quota, as in list quota, should show you how much file space you have available on Symmetry. But now I'm just getting error messages again, so this isn't working.
How do you actually change directory to this GPFS file system?
Aha, very good, yes. So of course, that is your home directory, which starts with home. And then there's a GPFS, and then that's your username again, and that's your, I can't show you here, but this is where I keep my simulation results.
So that's the one that has 1 tera?
This is the one that, yes, has 100 terabytes, and you can use up to 1 terabyte.
And can I, like, does it already have the same files and modules or environments that I have in my home directory? I have to reinstall everything back to?
No, it's the same thing. It's just a different directory, because CD forth and back. It's the same computer, same module, same everything. It's just a different place. I mean, it's not a subdirectory. You have to do /cps, but apart from that, it's like when you type CD in the home directory. There's no difference there. Okay, if there are no further questions, then I apologize for the technical problems. That seems to be a theme here. And thanks for attending.